haven't time at all for now.
Well, Sam, thanks for letting me come over to try and get this session with you on tape. Were you actually born in Jacare?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Born at Bridge Terrace, number 3.
Mm-hmm.
I lived there until I was 20. Was it 26 when I got married? Mm-hmm. Then, when I got married, I lived over number 8, Orchard Terrace. Mm-hmm. And that's where I lived. I'd never been out of Tuckany, only on holiday. Mm-hmm. And that I ain't very fussy about now. I ain't going on holiday. It isn't that I don't want to go away, it's the travelling I don't like. Mm-hmm. Travelling. 8:40 to 3:00. Mm-hmm. I'm always glad when I get my feet out on the ground. I know I can't go very far then. I know the ground won't open up and swallow me.
Where did you live then, Sam, in the village? Where were your parents?
Up number 3, Bridge Terrace. Until I got married, and I lived over the summer over here.
What did your father do?
He was paper maker. He was a beaterman, the same as what I was.
At the mill?
And my brother, my oldest brother, he was the paper maker. Mm-hmm. There was only the two of us that went paper making, really, because one wouldn't go apprentice. The other one started, but he couldn't... His health wouldn't let him carry on, so then he went gardening. Mm-hmm. For the same farm, Milburn. Mm-hmm. So that's how we... Well, I didn't want to go paper making. I wanted to go farming, farm labouring, but I didn't know that was it.
Well, there weren't a great number of jobs in a village in those days, were there?
No,
except
no.
Except going on the land.
You either had to go in the mill or else on the land.
Mm-hmm.
I did work out Darlington Hall for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
When they started doing the parsonage farm buildings.
Oh, that was much later, of course.
Yeah.
He wants to know about the, you know, when he was young.
Hmm?
He wants to know about when you were young.
When I was young?
Yes. Mm. What you used to do then before?
Mm. Oh, I tell you, I was the black sheep. Anything wrong, Sam? Sam Cox got it. Because they had to sit me between two young ladies when I went to school because I was so shy.
I can well believe that.
It's true. I can name them now. They both live around here. Ethel Smith and Daisy Chalker that lives out there near Cop.
Was the lady teacher at school in those days, or a man?
Teacher. Oh yeah. Or...
And where was the school?
Cormorthy.
Cormorthy.
We always call
so it both parishes.
Cormorthy High School because it was right up top the hill. See.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they asked me, I always went to a high school, Cormorthy.
Yeah. Yeah. And how many children did you have in the to combine?
One time there was 100 that went to Cormorthy School. That's because the outlying of the villages, like there was Tuckany, Cormorthy, Atherley, East Cormorthy, and outlying farms, and there used to be some come from over around Bulway because they wouldn't go to Ashprington School. I don't know. They've never took to Ashprington. I don't know why. No, nobody from here have ever, honestly, if they spoke the truth, they've never taken to Ashprington.
Because there used to be lots of children there one time.
Oh, I remember. There was 11 Davises, 10 Riders, 6 Coxes, 5 Smiths, 2 Lamberts, 3 or 4 Chokraths, 3 or 4 Lynns. You can't count them up. There used to be nearly 50 of us go from here. Rapes and tatters. It's amazing. I mean, when you go...
And walk.
Yeah, walk up. Perhaps you might carry some grub sometimes. And you may come home to dinner and go back again. Well, Tanya, my mother, packed up sandwiches for 6 of me. Because then you perhaps you'd get it pinched when you was in school. Dear, dear, dear. I've seen some carry-ons. Yes. When us gradually, all of us gradually grew up, the First World War come, you see. Mm-hmm. But then after that, the families got smaller.
Mm-hmm.
But the capers we used to kick up, used to play air now. And there was always one boy, Fred Lynn, that we always used to let him go out first. Perhaps he'd count 20. He'd start up here and count 20. And he'd take him miles.
Mm-hmm.
right up, because he knew the farms up around, and he used to shout,
Eek,
squeak or ollie, or the dogs won't folly. And then perhaps while you was up the top of there, he was back here. The only time us talking was when Father said, he was up there, laid down beside the bungalow. And that's the only time ever we caught that boy. Of course, we used to allow girls in the paper chasing, because you only tore up paper and sprinkled along where you went. Because you couldn't take the on barbed wire turnouts. You know, they used to wear all this pretty lace stuff, then all whites. Because Sam Clark's always got the blame. If the girls made they used to go hunting for old bits of shore and stuff like that, making houses, and if anything got broke, Sam Cox had the blame, and perhaps Sam Cox didn't know anything about it, but he had the blame.
So they'd be on the right track sometimes, I suppose.
Well, not very often, not with the girls.
Sam, did this old mill just on down here from you, was that working in those days then?
Yes, he'd been working up till a little while ago. I think now he would still work, because he had it altered a bit.
What mill was it? Flour mill?
He used to grind barley for barley mill for farmers for their cattle. He used to crush oats for their horses. And then he used to crush maize. That was like more of a powder. Well, you could crush it either fine or in chips, because they used to give that to their, you know, their cattle as well. And then they used to grind cake, because you used to get cake in great slabs, wide slabs. Well, then that was a small machine. You'd go up and put the cake in, and then you'd grind it up and throw it out one side. Well, then, you know, boys, like, you'd go down and say, can I give you a hand? And then you'd go down and perhaps bag it up.
And it was driven by water, that, was it?
Yeah, water well. Water, yeah. Region. That was when Manning's had it. Mm-hmm. Of course, now it belongs to Freddie Grant, see?
And the Coal Wharf was going at that time too. Mm-hmm. In your young day, the Coal Wharf was going as well.
Yeah.
Where they used to bring in the coal.
Yeah. Oh, you used to get it. Always the problem was, now say, if Melbourne had a coal boat coming up with 300 and some odd ton, Manning had a boat coming up with 300 and some odd ton. The first one that got up here and tied up was the first to be unloaded. See, well, they used to try and work it so they could be first, or else they might have to wait 2 or 3 days, or at least more than that, 4 days, 5 days. Because they used to say, us unloaded a coal boat in 3, 4 days, but they didn't tell you that they used to work 5 and 6 o'clock mornings till 10, 11 at night. You know, well, you used to get threepence a ton. That was every 80 ton you took out, you had a pound.
How many sort of industries of sorts were in the village then?
Well, that was about this, the mill and the coal, and Manning used to sell paper manure and the corn mill, and then they used to, Albert and Ford used to have their coal come up, the boat as well, and then Manning, with two horse and carts, used to drive it up to that factory, because they had a special cart made for driving up there. They had extra big one. See, because instead of going, you may go up perhaps 3, 4 times a day. Where here, you could go up a dozen times. That's with one horse and cart. That was the last, I think that was about the last labouring job I was on before I did start back in mill again, driving co-op. I said to the bloke, I said, he's giving me a job. I said, what job I got it? He said, you can drive coal up to the mill. I said, here, look, I can't harness horse. I can't let horse in the cart and unharness him. He said, and if you go up and get the horses mornings, bring them to the stable, then we'll do the rest. So I used to go up and get the horses, take them down the stable, and then they used to put the harness on and put them in the cart, and then I'd go off and load up the coal and then come up here, up and down the road.
What age were you then?
20.
Oh, you got on a bit then.
22.
Mm-hmm. When did you leave school?
When I was 13 and 3 months. Because I couldn't leave school because my birthday comes. See, because my birthday comes 3 days after the March term. So I had to carry on until the end of July. Well, then this farmer wanted me to start with him, and Father kept me home a week here. He said, I can't afford to keep you home. He said, Monday morning, 6 o'clock at the mill. And he said, and if he wants you then, he said, your older brother, I'll have to leave. Speak up. Oh, so of course, the oldest brother, I started at 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock he sent down, could I start on the farm? Father said, no. So the other brother, he had to give his weeks and the notice in up mill, and he went on the farm. Mm-hmm. I was wicked about that though, you know, because I built up to go on the farm, and then that was it. Mm-hmm. So I didn't go on the farm. Then I served my apprenticeship 7 years, see? I went apprentice in on March the 13th, and you done 7 years.
Well, what year was that?
Hmm?
What year was that?
Remember.
You come out of your time, 1927.
Yeah, 1927, so that must have been 1920 then, when I started.
Yeah.
Well, then when I come out of my time on the Saturday morning, they brought me cards down. Because I didn't intend to learn paper making. I didn't want to learn it. Well, then, I was out for 6 months. Went to Darlington Hall for 3 months. I come back a year, they promised me a constant. Oh, then I went in the Totnes Times office with a bloke from Manchester. A couple of us from the Doe, I had to go down. And this bloke from Ashburton, he come as well. He only come one day. So the bloke from Manchester said, oh, what's to do without E, Sam? That was the best job I had whilst I was out. Yeah. I was earning a bob hour. Because that was a lot of money then. Because I was mason's labouring for eightpence eight me. And I said to the boss one morning, I said, Don, you think it's time I had a rise? He said, I'll think it over, Sam. Of course, he said, don't forget, yours is only a boy's job. I thought myself, boy's job, pick and shovel. Yeah. So, well, it must have been a month afterwards, he said, I've been thinking what you asked me, Sam. He said, I'll give you a penny hour rise. So that was 9 pence 8 pence an hour. I used to come home as proud as punch sometimes with about 31 bob. Mm. You know, you paid a pound lodge and then you had this 11 bob to, well, you had to pay your slate clubs and things like that. I was rich then. Mm. But that was the best job ever I had, was in the Times office. That was before they shifted it. That was there on the left going up the town, wasn't it, somewhere? Frost was in there then.
That's right.
I can't just imagine where it was.
By the grammar school.
Above the grammar school, was it?
Just below.
Just below. Mm. I knew it was somewhere there. He'd say to me, Sam, do you want some overtime? I'd say, yeah. He'd say, go out in the storeroom and pick out something and put it on top of the bail. And he said, go out there and have a smoke for half hour. And he said, then bring it in. He said, then go back again. Of course, I got caught one night, sat down there. Oh, he said, don't matter today. Oh, I don't know how many weeks I was in there. I was in there several weeks. That was a nice job, that.
How did you get in there now?
Well, they sent for me from the Dole, see? Because
yeah.
When I went in to sign on, Frank Rowe was in charge of the, what's he called then? And he said to me, Sam, he said, and if I get a job, he said, well, whether it's unloading boats or anything, would you take it? See, because they knew they couldn't get me a job in the paper mill. See, because nobody wanted it. I said, yes. Well, I had this green card come out, and I went in, and that's how I come to get the job.
Did you used to cycle out there, mate?
I used to cycle. I was as nervous as a cat on a push bike. I used to cycle to the top of Totnes downhill, leave me bike in the field, and then walk down Totnes downhill, and then walk back of a night. Yeah, I could never ride a push bike, funny.
Well, you walked the worst part of the journey, didn't you?
Yeah. I always used to, I've smiled to myself scores of times since. I thought myself, well, how daft can you be? Ride your push bike, walk up Bow Hill, and walk up over Road and Hill, and ride along the level to the top of Totnes downhill, and then put your bike in there, walk down there, and then in the evening walk back. That's 8-9 at night.
How long did it take you then? It took you at least 2 hours to get to Totnes.
Yeah, well, I missed the sweat, boy. what you do, innit? Just these simple things.
Well, that makes, you know, life, doesn't it? I mean, this is all the experience of life for all these sort of things, because they talk about the good old days, but there wasn't so much good about it for some people, was there?
No. Of course, we always say it now, good old days. Oh. Yeah, they used to talk about the good old days. Bread and dripping. And you only used to have one pair of boots to go to school. And you had to black them Saturday nights. Of course, us didn't do it. My mother always used to black them Saturday nights. When it comes Sunday dinner time, you had to get ready for school. Oh, I can't wear they boots to chapel. You got to. You had to go. It didn't matter whether they was hobnail boots or ordinary boots. You had to go to chapel twice a day. Twice Sundays and once Tuesday nights. You had to go to chapel. Well, that's the only time that the women had to themselves.
And where did you go for chapel?
Over the road there, near the next building back from the Waterman's Arms on the right. That was our chapel. Mm. It was turned into a cottage now. Mm-hmm. That's where we used to go to chapel. Before we used to go to chapel, used to be packed with kids. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was the cider making there in those days when you were...
Oh, blimey, yeah. Mm. The kids used to get tight. You know, like in the season, when was it at it? Simmons, I think it was from Totnes then. Old George Peters, Bill Brooking, and Harry Ryder, and some of the old folks, they used to line it up outside for perhaps a week with the bungs off. Well, there was a boathouse a little way on with this here big reed, what they used to thatch with back in the days, this thick reed like. And perhaps two or three would go down and pull out a reed out the boat. Us used to make ourselves bad sometimes. No, mother say, well, what have you been doing? Us been down there sucking at the cider. Of course, they come to the conclusions in the end, because well, one of the barrels was half empty. Us had been down there.
They cottoned on like.
Yeah. Then that didn't stop us. Because they used to bung them down, but you could always get the bung out. Because they used to put a bit of cloth around and drive the bung in. Well, you could always catch all the cloth and two or three of them tug at it. And then push them back hard when you'd add some. But then to cider then. Not like this now.
When you were at the mill, Sam, what was it like working there? What was the process there when you, how did they process through from the beginning to the end of paper?
Well, the rags used to come. David Blight used to bring them from Totnes Station with a horse and wagon, see? Well, then they was unloaded, took into the reg house, and then the bales was opened, and then, I don't know, there might have been 10, 12 ladies there. They had a bench each with it was like a part of a scythe stuck in the wood frame, and then they used to go through the thrasher. The bloke used to put them in the thrasher, and they was thrashed for 20 minutes. Then
to get out the dust.
Yes. Well, then one lady would go, that was her job, she'd take them out of the thrasher, put them into these baskets, and then go round and fill up all the ladies' benches. Well, whilst that they were sorting that lot, well, the next lot was put into the thrasher, and that's how it went on. Well, then the ladies used to cut them shorter, cut off all the buttons, hooks and eyes and all that sort of thing, and that was threw away. And then they was carried a little bit further on, and they used to go down in like a trap door in the floor. Well, there was a bloke down on under there, and these rags used to go down into a box thing, and he used to be there, and he would put them through the cutting machine. Well, they'd go through the cutting machine and then come back in the reg house again. Well, then the women, a couple of women would have to, when they come back, they'd have to put them over the magnet to make sure that they'd got it all out. Well, then they was taken from the magnet, put into the dusters, and they was in the dusters for 20 minutes. Well, after that, they was took out and basketed up in about, I reckon you used to get about 70, 80 pound in a basket. Well, then they was took out into the boiler house. And they was put into the boiler. You might get about 1,500 weight to a ton in a boiler. where you'd put so much alkali in, and then they was boiled perhaps for 2 hours. Well, then you blow them up, then you blow the bottom of the boiler, let the steam out and the water. Well, then you'd go, then the blokes down under would go up and take the big ring off the boiler, let the boiler come around so far, and then he'd have a tub down under, and he used to pull these rigs out into the tub, take them into the beater room, and then you had another man there. You'd throw the rigs in a bin here, and this bloke used to be sat facing you as you done it. Well, then he had a bench there. You'd put the rigs up on his bench, and he used to sort them again in case you got any bits of silk or that had gone through or elastic. Well, then he used to throw them back over into the next bin. Well, then we used to take them from that bin when they was ready. We used to put them in the breakers. We used to wash them for a half hour. Then you'd bleach them for, all depends what sort it was, 20 minutes to a half hour. And then you'd wash them out again, say for a half hour to three parts of an hour. And then you'd bleach them again with a pinch of bluing. Then you used to let them down in big tanks. That was right down underneath. Well, then they used to stand in bleach for 24 hours. See, the following day, the bloke that was in charge of the feeder room, we'd go down and pull up a wire. That's where the drains were, see? And he'd pull these wires up, and then the rigs would drain. Well, when they was drained enough, you used to go down with a tub, and you might have to bring up perhaps 20 out shot, 60 new white cuttings, that's 80. You just have to make it up in weight to 120 pound to a tub. Could be because you had a big copper thing down under. That one used to allow to hold 10 pound of rig. So you go by the weight of the rig, not when it's down in there. Mm-hmm. And that used to be 120 pound. You brought it back, washed it out for about hour and a half to 2 hours to get out the bleach, and then you drop that into the pulverizers, what we used to call beaters, and then you gradually beat that off. It all depends what you was making, and if you was making drawings or writing paper or anything like that, you beat it quick. But if you was doing anything like on the loan side, perhaps you'd give that 4, 5, 6 hours. It all depends what you wanted. And you kept it different lengths. And most mills, they've got testing tubes, you know, how they try theirs if it's ready. But we always used to test ours in two anvils. You'd take a bit out and go to your water tap and go like that until you got it thin enough. And then you'd go up to the light in the window and just look through it like that. And you could tell the length of the fibres, what you had to get. Well, when that was ready, that was emptied down into some big chests in the valleys, and that's where it was made. So it's amazing.
What a complicated process. And how long did it take from where you started to that, where you finished at that point?
I should say, from the time the rigs come in, time the sheet was made, it could be 2 or 3 days before that sheet was completely made. Well, then it had to go through a further process than that. It was made, then it was, the paper was made and put in packs, we used to call them. Well, then they used to come in and get your packs, take them up off the beater room and put them in presses, and that was hand presses. Now, they put them in presses and they'd say in the morning they would press them slightly. See, because if you went too hard, it would break the sheet. See, they'd bust. So then they'd leave them like that for 5, 6 hours. And then the men would come around and get so many labourers in the afternoon or before they went home, say perhaps 4, 5, 6 o'clock. And then they'd hand press them tight, tighter and tighter again. Well, the next morning, they'd take those packs out again. And they used to allow for them to stand for so long. Well, then, after they'd been stood so long, they'd take them into the drying machine, and that's where the girls used to fill them in, wet this end, and take them out dry down the far end. Well, then, that used to stand there, when I went there, it used to stand there perhaps for weeks. That was before it got took up into the size house. Perhaps some of it had to be parted, so as to let the air go through. All sorts wasn't parted. Some of the strongest sorts was parted. Well, then that was took up in the size house. It was sized, and then it was covered up with a big flannel thing, a flannelette thing. Well, then it was stood there for a little while. Then they'd take it down to the women that used to part it. Well, when it been parted again, the loftmen used to go down, bring it back and hang it up into the lofts. Well, then after that, when they took it down, that had to go through the glazers, what we used to call the robes, but it's really glazing it, isn't it? Bringing the shine out. Well, then after that, it had to be sorted, pick out the best, second best, retrieve, all this sort of stuff. See, well, then perhaps they used to put so much retrieve on top and bottom.
Best retrieve.
Or best retrieve on the top and bottom of the good. And then the finisher used to tie them up and weigh them and then take it to the station.
Yeah. How many grades of paper did they make then?
Oh, there was...
Can you recollect?
There was drawings. That was... we used to start off with £72, £90, £120, £300, and £400. £400 was thick. And then we used to make a lot of split-ups for Totnes Castle. Well, several farms we made them for. I can't think of all the names now.
Spices.
Yeah, well, then we used to make all different colours. Old gold, paste blue, yellow, oh, and buff, all sorts. Because that was a sheet that, if you made a big sheet like that, well, that would tear out perhaps 10 or 12 sheets, see? Mm-hmm. That's the writing paper.
Yeah.
Well, then they used to make the envelope paper as well. Now, I think that was a different shape, wasn't it?
Yeah, more square.
Yeah.
6x6 or something, I think.
Is it true that they made banknote paper too?
Only foreign currency.
Only for foreign currency.
Only foreign currency. Oh. Now, we used to make, I don't know whether you pronounce it, it's Ticos or Ticos, and it's an Indian currency. Mm-hmm. Ceylon, I think that used to be more of a plain sheet. Oh. We used to make Cyprus notes, and then we used to make a lot of...
Arabic.
A lot of paper for the Bank of England, but that wasn't money paper, that was loan paper.
Ledger paper
and whatnot.
So, they made waterloos, spices. So
there would be quite a considerable amount of tons of paper went out there for you, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
In its heyday. And how many, can you recollect how many did the employee there all told when it was really...
Well, I reckon when I went there first, that was 1919, because I didn't go apprentice until over 6 months after I left school. I should say 1919 when I went there. It was just after the war. I reckon from then on, up till the 1926 or 30s, they employed 80, 90 people. Of course, then things gradually got worse because the big coal strike come on then. That's...
26.
But then it gradually went down and down until 1939. We went on short time. That was work. Used to work 3 days 1 week, 4 days the week after. That was so as you could get 5 days dough in a fortnight. Mm-hmm. Well, then in 1940, they sent and said they either had to go on full-time or shut up. So Melbourne started up, I don't know whether it was 5 or 6 vats. See, well, and then, I don't know, I reckon there was 50, 60 there then. See, because you had to have so many, because you used to have at least three blokes to a vat. And if you had, I've seen all 8 vats working, and that was at least 24 to 30 people on the vats, because on some sorts you had to have what they call an operand boy. That he used to have to help the coacher to pitch the felt down. See? Well, on some of the smaller sorts, you only had the three people. See? Mm. The vatman, the creature, and the layer. Mm.
But so when you went in 1919 for the next 7 years, you were an apprentice.
I was an apprentice.
Did you go through all the stages?
Then? No.
You only go through a certain number?
I only learned to lay.
You learned to lay?
I never learned to make a sheet. I never learned to coach a sheet.
It's a long apprenticeship, isn't it, to learn?
7 years.
7 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, then I learned to make during the last World War. Mm-hmm. That's when I learned they were short.
Sam, going back to before 1920, you know, when you lived at home and family life and that, was your father connected with the chapel and everything like that, choir and so forth, and what used to...
No, he was never a chapel or a church goer. But I will say this for Father, he was very strict on us children. Mm-hmm. Your father would never have to use a stick or a strap or anything. That was always left for Mother. But if we was out 10 minutes late, he'd come out and he'd go, and he was gone. The one who say, oh, wait a minute. And that used to go on up till I was nearly 15. That's when Father died. Well, he used to let the oldest two girls go to a dance and the two boys. And he'd say to them, 10 o'clock, I shall look in the door. It didn't matter who they was dancing with or no. He'd look in the door and he'd go, psh. He was gone.
That was it.
That was it. The one who saying, oh, I want to finish my dance, they knew when he said it, they was gone. And that's what he used to be with all the kids around here. He've even done it to you. Mm-hmm. Sling your hook.
Yeah. But and where did you hold these dances then?
That was down, do you know where the cider stores is? You know.
Oh,
where,
yes. Well, where Pepe is, somewhere around there.
Yeah, but back this way further.
Yeah.
Anthony Harrison bought the place now. Well, we used to have a club room up the top of there. Mm-hmm. And that's where we used to hold sixpenny ox. Because mm-hmm. then we, the two youngest, wasn't old enough really to go. Only time we went to anything like that was when you had a Christmas party or a coronation turnout, and that's when Melbourne's was good, because they'd supply nearly everything. That was to give the kids a good day. Of course, and you used to have a good day, orange and a few sweets and things like that. That made a good day, and then perhaps you'd have sports. Sixpence for first, threepence and a penny.
Yeah.
I mean, because that was good. That was good, right. Good money, and if you could win a couple of races, that was a shilling.
Yeah.
And that would have to last you a week or two.
Yeah, yeah.
Father used to give us, on Saturdays, a penny each. And you used to go down, the shop used to be down where the post office is now. Mm-hmm. And you used to go down and spend 8p. And perhaps you'd get 8p of the broken up chocolate, or 8p of the speck fruit. Perhaps you'd get a couple of oranges with a speck on them, or apples. Perhaps you'd get 2 or 3 for 8p then. Well, then you'd keep the 8p for in the week. Mm-hmm. And then you could lash out again. It used to be some carry-ons.
And I suppose you had to, similar sort of things because of school and Sunday school, Christmas.
Yeah, they used to take us, once a year, they used to take us to Tynemouth.
Yeah.
Tucker's Sweet Factory in Totnes used to come out with a wagonette thing, you know, with two horses.
Yeah.
And they'd pick you up, take you to the station. And when you come back in the evening, they'd be there waiting for you, and they had a barrel like that, full of hot buns. And then all the kids used to help themselves to the buns. So that's what we used to do. That was a good treat, really. Yeah. I mean, sixpence back in those days was a lot of money to go away with.
Certainly was.
Well, then when that stopped, my oldest sister, or stepsister, she used to take us kids down across the fields, nearly opposite Duncannon, and she used to shout across, boat ahoy, and the bloke over the other side would come across and perhaps pick up 10, 20 of us kids Perhaps you'd have to pay a penny each to go right across, and he'd be there in the evening, because you had to judge the right tides, morning and evening tide, and then you'd walk from Stokeable to Paignton, back from Paignton to Stoke, and across the ferry, and then walk home. Yeah, it used to be good times, though. I mean, I used to enjoy it.
And well, I think it was the village life, wasn't it?
It was village life, yeah.
You know, this was all what it was all about.
Because the Reeveses and Todds were topness, like George Reeves and then and Phil Tucker, wasn't it? They always used to come out to the chapel and they made it for you children.
Oh, yes. Then there was a preacher called Brock, Shepherd, Sheriff. He was about the worst one ever we had. He used to say, one more point. One more point. He's gone on like that for about a half hour. Everybody used to get fed up with these one more point. But there weren't many farmers around here picked any apples. Because the kids used to pick them all.
You got them all.
Yeah. I know when we was going to school once, we went in up Comedy Court and asked the farmer in there and if he wanted any kids to pick up his apples for the cider. He said yes, he picked out so many of us, the biggest ones. Us worked like blazes the first 3 or 4 days, got a great big heap. And then one stuck a stick in apple and flipped it somebody. So then what we used to do was play wars. So many behind that heap apples and so many up here. Come in, I threw all the apples back on the ground, and he sacked us. And us used to come out, us kids always used to wear the knickerbockers in, you know, the buttons down here. And you used to tear your pocket in here, tear the lining, and come out with that. Like, you never seen such specimens in your life, you never did. That was for the girls, that was. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you had to bring them out for the girls. The girls used to say, oh, bring us out, apple, and that's what we used to do. Mm-hmm. And then the teacher would say, what have you got in your pockets? Well, we didn't have any pockets left. I said, rip they off.
Now, I believe you said something about, when I was talking to you one period, something about this wonderful barber or haircuts or something you used to have to suffer or didn't suffer. What was it?
Father used to take us, I think, once a month or every 6 weeks over to a bloke called Mr. Ball. He used to live over by the Waterman's Arms up the lane. And he'd say, boys, you got to have your hair cut today. You go over there, oldest first and then the two young ones. And he used to use sheep's ears. And if you wanted a special style, we would put a basin on top of your head and cut around the basin. That's true. And I dare say Father used to give him about a bob. That's for 4 haircuts. Well, that was about 3 or 4 pints of scrumpy, see? Mm-hmm. That was pretty, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this used to take place, this is a ritual, took place every few weeks?
Every month to 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
Yeah. Father used to take us all over and have a haircut.
So you were like the shorn sheep.
Yes. You've never seen such sight sometimes. All the kids used to laugh at it, you know. Mm. Oh, you've had your hair cut.
Yeah.
Or you've had your ears put back.
Yeah. And how old were you when you first met Kitty?